All right, for a little while this evening, I want us to look at a thought that we're all familiar with. It's a passage of Scripture in the New Testament where Jesus is talking about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I think it was September the 24th this year that I preached a message, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 5, vision of God. Sometime around that same period of time, I don't remember if it was the week before or when it was exactly, but Jim Plank preached a message at his church just prior to revival, as what I was doing. And my wife saw it and said, "John, I think you want to listen to this. You want to go there and listen to it." Well, I didn't do it. I think it was before I preached from Isaiah. And then after I got done preaching, sometime that week, I went and I listened to him. And he was preaching from Isaiah chapter 6, 1 to 5 as well. His thought was, what does revival look like? And as I've come past that, and I've worked my way past that, and I've mulled that over into my mind, that would really make a good sermon series. You know, just nuggets here and there about what does revival look like? What do we expect out of revival? He gave a number of things in that service, in that message, that looks like revival. He kept repeating that. This is what revival looks like. And I kind of want that to be the thought this evening, though I'm probably not going to preach any kind of a sermonette series on what does revival look like. I'm just thinking along those lines. But hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Rodney Loper preached last Sunday night. Did any of you listen to that? Anybody at all listen to that? From last Sunday night? Good. Well, I mean, that's okay, I guess. I thought about just playing his whole message because it was so profoundly interesting in relation to our interest and our hunger and thirst for God. It's found in Psalm chapter 16. Now, he went to much deeper, greater lengths than what I'm going to go tonight. But it was fitting right into my thinking and thoughts for this idea for this evening. And he begins in verse number 1, Psalm 16, speaking about God being his guide and his presence and looking forward. And then in verse 2, he spent a lot of time. And in verse number 2, he was really focused in on some things there in that particular verse. One thing that he mentioned was that the first Lord in that chapter, in that division, is all capitalized. It's all uppercase. And he was signifying, or he said, that signifies that God was a personal God, that is his name. Then the second Lord that's there is only capital in the first letter, which indicates that there's a difference in those two words. The first one is a personal God, and the second Lord is the master or the controller. But then we find something a little bit deeper here that I want us to look at more detailed. He speaks there in the last part of that verse number 2, "Thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee." Now, does that make any sense to you? My goodness extendeth not to thee. Now, if you have your King James there, you probably notice that the word extendeth is italicized, which means that they added a word trying to make sense in the English. Really, the Revised would give us a better understanding. The Revised version would give us a better understanding. Some of you may have that in your margin or off to the side. It says, "I have no good beyond thee." I have no good beyond thee. Now that does not mean, it may be just as confusing for us in a sense, That does not mean that there is nothing good outside of my personal relationship with God. That doesn't mean, follow me through here, don't jump off the wagon here quickly with this statement especially, but that doesn't mean that if you're not in a relationship with God that everything will turn bad. Because there is good outside of a relationship with God. There are some good things. You know, one of the things that Brother Loper brought out was that at creation, at the end of every day, God said that it was good. And at the end of creation of man, he said it was very good. So there are some good things around. But what he is saying is what I want us to focus on. And I'm just going to give you a quote directly quoted from Brother Loper. He said, "Anything apart from your good for my life is not good for me." Apart from what you declare to be good in my life is not good for me. So when he says, "Thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee," he's not saying that that everything around is bad and that I don't have any goodness or anything like that. He's simply saying that I have no good beyond thee, that whatever I do and whatever I am, goodness comes from you. And what you specify as being good is good for me. And if God does not specify that something is good, then it's not good for me. What are we talking about? What does it really mean? It really means that a person that is surrendered has reached the point where they are saying in their life, in their living, that God has the option to choose what is good for me. And God has the option to choose what is bad for me. Even if something is good in and of itself, if God doesn't call it good for me, then it's bad for me. Brother Loper gave a number of illustrations. I'm not going to go through all of those illustrations by any means. But maybe one can really specify as it brings it right down to where we are tonight. And I hope that you all would feel that Wiseball Community Church is a good church. I mean, you're here. You're here every Sunday, pretty much. There's always a few absences on any given Sunday, but you know, for the most part, we attend here on a regular basis. Am I right that you have a feeling that Wiseball is getting ready to say WCC, and some of you still don't know who that is, but Wiseball Community Church is a good church. That Wiseball Church is one that is spiritually minded, and it strives to point people to heaven, and it seeks to know and follow God's will. And it seems to be a pretty good church to raise your family in. I hope that you can go to other people and say that, yeah, our church is a good church. Our pastor's not a very good preacher, but he'll love you. You know, that's okay. That's okay. But you feel like it's a good church. Let me pick on somebody who is not conscious this evening. They're here, but they're not conscious of what's going on. I thought about picking on somebody who would be conscious, but I don't want to put any kind of undue pressure on that individual. So let me pick on Seth. Can I pick on Seth tonight? If somewhere along the line, let's say that he receives a call from God about the age of 12. That's how old I was when I began to feel God directing me towards ministry for the first time, that I really seriously thought and believed that God was directing me towards ministry. Somewhere around the age of 12, God begins to speak to little Seth and press on him the need for him to pursue a ministry, a real direct calling from God in ministry. He graduates from high school. He goes off to Bible college, finds himself a good wife at Bible college like his daddy did, and then comes back to Wiseball. His dad's now the owner of McAllister's. Is that what it's called, McAllister's? Or he's up there in upper management now. And he begins. Seth begins to work for his daddy at the shop. Is Wiseball Community Church still good for Seth? It's good for everybody else, but is it good for Seth? Because God has called him directly to the ministry. But he's not fulfilling that call. Is Wiseball Community Church still good for him? Now, we can take that into the very detailed portions of our lives. It may be that somebody else can do something, or at least it may appear to us that somebody else can do something, but if God has spoke to our heart and has specified to our heart as something that goes against that, it may be good in and of itself, but if God doesn't declare it to be good for me, it's bad for me. Outside of what God says is good for me is bad for me. Mark it down. Make note of that in your mind. Post it on the doorpost of your thinking that whatever God declares to be bad for me is bad for me. And if God declares something good for me, it is good for me. Not the world. Not society, not even the church. Now, I want you to be careful that you're not overriding, but I'm talking about in the sense of the church. This is an example with little Seth. Outside of what God declares to be good for me is ultimately bad for me. So when we think about that little passage where Jesus is teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, when he said, "They that hunger and thirst for righteousness," this is something that is taken in, that hunger and thirst for righteousness is not just something floating out there in the ether, but it's a reality within the heart that is seeking after God to know God and to find God's will and to follow God's will, even when it says that it's limiting my pleasure or my entertainment or my desires or the things that I want, or even specify something that I must be involved with or do or to be. God gives us a clarity so much in Scripture that means that we all follow. That everybody eventually is going to come to the knowledge of that light and have that information be brought to them as a convicting power, not something as a lightning bolt from heaven, but just simply the realization that God said it and I believe it. But then there are so those other things that take us a step beyond and closer to following Him and being faithful to Him in those small areas of life. You can call them convictions if you'd like. It's what they used to be called, personal convictions, trusting in Him. Trusting in Him so that no matter what happens, so that no matter what takes place, no matter how things go in my life, I can trust Him to know what is good for me, to know what is proper for me, to be what he wants me to be so that I can follow him. Somebody sent me this quote this morning. I can trust God with the consequences of my obedience. I really like that. That's from Dr. Paul Kaufman. I can trust God with the consequences of my obedience. I believe that that ties right in and fits right in with this thing of hungering and thirsting after righteousness, trusting in him that whatever he says is good, I accept it as good. And whenever he says something is bad, I accept it as bad. Let's stand together tonight. What does revival look like? I think revival looks like that. Somebody that is surrendered to the will of God, that when he says that I step in that, I walk in that, whether it's a yea or a nay, I'm surrendered to his leading. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Franklin, would you dismiss us in prayer?